Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I'm way more into the college slate this weekend than Perloff is. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, of course. I'm into USC, Michigan. Mm-hmm. I'm into Tennessee, Oklahoma. Hell, I'm even into Colorado, Baylor, but not the reasons that, not so much the football side of it. Welcome to the show, by the way, Maggie Gray.
Andrew, you know, the real season starts next week.
I'm into these, especially these two games. I think USC and Michigan is very interesting to me. You got USC now in the Big Ten, right, going to the Big House, and you've got Michigan, who might be in this championship hangover kind of year. And if they lose this game in the way they lost to Texas, then we can basically write off Michigan. And that's it. Good night. Goodbye. And we can start asking about Sharon Moore and why was the quarterback situation so messed up and all of that stuff.
See, I give Michigan just a pass. Like, they don't really even exist this year in my mind.
They don't exist.
I mean, they won their title. They were all in last year. The coach left. The quarterback left. There's no reason for me to judge Sharon Moore for anything that happens here. They have this investigation looming over them.
They still have NFL guys on the defensive side of the ball. Like, they still have a team. It's not as good as the championship team, but they still got dudes.
They don't feel relevant in the title picture. I mean, some of these teams might sneak in the Final 12. Michigan's not going to. But they just don't feel like next week is Alabama, Georgia, obviously. Like, it feels like the heavyweights are just gearing up to start playing. I'm a big critic of September scheduling. Like, USC, Michigan's the best game you got. 11 versus 18. You're going to have 2 versus 3 for the rest of the year after this. But anyway, and Colorado, every game feels exciting. But then, is it really exciting? Every game is a huge deal with this team. And then they're like, wait, we just got hyped up for Colorado State?
Well, I mean, it was a little, there's always a little something interesting, even when they lose, because it is Deion Sanders. Now, they won that Colorado State game, obviously. They lost the Nebraska game. Okay, this one from Deion kind of caught our ear. And we'll get back to the Tennessee-Oklahoma stuff. But this one from Deion caught our ear. He was talking about reporters with college players these days and basically said they criticize college players because they're jealous of the college players. Let's hear it.
Landscape has changed in football. Once upon a time, you guys never attacked college players. Now they're making more money than y'all. And some of y'all are envious and jealous about that. So you're on the attack. It was hands off a college player because he's an amateur. You remember that, guys? Now it's hands on. Go at him any kind of way you want. They're making more money than me, and I'm mad about it.
More from Deion says the media wouldn't like it if the players got personal and thought about sort of attacking the media, but then I guess thought better of it.
Personal stuff, leave it to be personal, because if we start flipping the script on y'all, you wouldn't like it. I can easy. Thank you, Lord, for stopping me there. Whoo, that was almost a good one. That would have went viral.
Okay, so Deion is doing a certain thing, but let's pause on the idea that now that you can pay college players, are they no longer insulated from criticism from the media? I might actually disagree with the premise. I still think that there is a little bit of it. You would not criticize a college player, I think, in the media the same way that you would criticize an NFL player. Not because of the money. I think it's because of the age and the level that they're playing at. But is Deion talking about media or is he talking about social media? Because you can't, none of us as part of the media can help it if a kicker misses a 42-yarder and your team loses to their rival, that kicker is going to get death threats. It's horrible. It's awful. That happened and is not being incited by people who are in actual media, like getting paid to do this job.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Paul Feinbaum used to spend hours ripping Bo Nix to shreds. Like, I feel like...
Well, Bo was getting paid, right?
Well, no, when he was at Auburn before it. I think he was pre-NIL there. Like, I feel like players, college players get criticized all the time, especially quarterbacks. Like, I understand what Deion's saying. There is some logic to that. Yes, now college athletes are more like pro athletes. They are pro athletes. Anyone who's... There's nothing not pro about them. They're professional athletes. They get paid to perform. So... I do understand Deion's sentiment there, but there's a few things he said. He also said, like, you know, what if we flip the script? You wouldn't like that. He's done that all the time. He's been attacking individuals all season long. He's been going after individuals in the press. So that's ridiculous. But this is just, Deion is completely inconsistent in his messaging here. So it's hard to take the messenger serious, especially on this topic. Like, yeah, maybe there is a good discussion, or now the college players are getting paid. Is the media being harsher on there? There's a lot of logic to that, but Deion's not the one to say it because he's been really kind of a jerk lately.
Yeah, I guess here's the thing, not to like, you know, be, hey, we're defending the media part about this, but I just would like to bring up this point. If you had polled the media, radio, TV, newspapers, bloggers, everything, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, should college athletes be paid? I think it would have been a landslide, yes. Now, there are a couple guys who staunchly held out, hey, your tuition, room, and board is enough, though, the privilege of going to college. There are very few of those old school dudes left. I think everyone would say, no, not only do we want college players to get paid, we're going to use the power of our microphone, of the camera, of the written word to try to do everything we can to get them paid. Perloff, you always say this is the greatest grift of all time, that the coaches are making millions. They can take another job, and meanwhile, the college athletes not getting paid, have to sit out a year when they transfer. The coaches can block what schools they can go to. I mean, all that stuff that sounds so antiquated now. So I think Deion's got a little wrong. I think the media was the biggest proponent of athletes getting paid, partly because we see and we're lucky enough to see how much work and effort they put into being Division I college athletes.
That's all very true. But that being said, let me ask you this though: are college athletes a little more like pro athletes now? And is there a slight turn? I mean, first of all, the murder scene that is DJU coverage,
sure.
Even on this show, I mean,
we've been critical.
I mean,
but we'll be as critical about him as we were of Saquon Barkley for dropping that pass.
Far more on DJU.
Well,
I mean, honestly, DJU's been way worse than Saquon. But they are, one thing, like, they are pro athletes. Like, can we stop the student athlete thing? There's nothing. Sure. Now, you brought up a big question. Can you rep a 20-year-old? But they're not even 20 anymore. Now they're 23, 24.
Or 25.
Or Cam Rising. Cam Rising's going to be 42 and still playing at Utah.
Yeah, you got guys that are in college for 7 years, 8 years.
But that's the
exception.
I just think I think the college sports world, I think actually Deion does have a valid, but they have to be ready to be treated like pros, like, because the money is going to bring that.
Yeah. I want to ask you guys a question, because I disagree with almost everything he said, but there was one point I thought was interesting. He mentioned, we forget about the Cam Risings and Cam McCormick. He said these are young men who, their age, they're just not equipped mentally, emotionally to deal with the criticism, regardless of whether they're getting paid like athletes or we should consider them pro athletes. Do you buy that as the reason why criticism should be held back, because simply they're essentially children?
Yeah. Well, then take away their phones.
They're not children. That's ridiculous. I mean, listen, and this, we're the only country who has this weird college system. In any other country than any other sport, they've been pros for 5 years now. I mean, listen, the 21-year-old is ancient for the tennis world or any other. Internationally, these guys are playing soccer in the high level of 15. So it's like, no, to treat a 20-year-old like he's a kid is stupid.
Well, I think, listen, the impact, I think, more of social media, whether the local columnist comes in and writes something, I think is probably a lot easier for a 20-year-old to ignore. Like, are they even going to see that? But it's the flood of social media after the game that I think they see you suck, you're the worst, memes, you know, all the stuff like, oh, roasted, you know, all these things that I think get really personal. And I think that does have an impact. Now, where I would question Dion again, as Perloff said, being the flawed messenger, if you're really worried about the mental health of these young people, then you don't bring your camera crew into Colorado that first meeting and say, grab all your crap and totally. Get out and hit the portal because I'm bringing my baggage and it's Louis Vuitton. And then put it out there on your own social media channel. What do you think you did to those kids? So it's only your kids you have to worry about the mental health. But all the cast-offs that no longer can play for you because you don't think they're good enough, the mental health of those kids means nothing. Having a Hall of Famer come in and tell you you're not good enough, what do you think that does to a kid? So again, like for Dion, it's hard sometimes to take him because he is so contradictory, Pearl, as you said.
Okay, here's another question, another inconsistency. 15 years ago, like college quarterbacks didn't get shredded to pieces. I know social media might not have been as big, but I feel like I don't feel like they've been immune because they're kids,
totally
especially
agree.
In the sports heavy areas of like college football. Like if Alabama blew a big game, I assume that quarterback got a lot of criticism.
I'm sure, but again, is it like social media? Is it coast to coast? You know, would it be a little more? Listen, we rip them, not rip them, but we critique them during the draft process too. Like there's
but
a
that's
lot
not,
there.
That's not specific to college sports. All athletes, pro sports, all NBA guys get shredded on social media now.
Yep.
I mean, also too, college fans, when they're mean in basketball, they can be really mean, usually to the other team, but that is not, you know, it's not for the faint of heart. This college football is intense, and it has been for a long time.
Definitely.
Dion, I think, thinks that I'm Deion Sanders. I'm above reproach. There, you certainly get that vibe.
Well, yeah.
I mean, he is primetime. But yeah. No, you're right, though. Like, he does have that vibe to him. Yeah. And I totally agree, because I just feel like I didn't live through all this, but I've watched too many 30 for 30 documentaries on various college athletes and college teams where all I see are old clips, press clippings, national columns on Christian Laettner, the Fab Five, the Miami Hurricanes, USC. Just pick any prominent Johnny Manziel, Tim Tebow, pick any prominent college athlete pre-NIL, and they all got a lot of crap, good and bad.
Chris Webber,
exactly.
Oh, gosh,
the Fab
timeout.
Five.
Oh, he's still getting I mean, he's still criticized for that.
Yeah.
It's like a moment he can never live down.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other like classic mistakes. I mean, most of it was good for Johnny Manziel. But, right, I don't think, with Dion saying that, but there is something like college sports, I think he brings up an interesting question. Is it now just going to be treated like a pro league? And is that fair to do that?
Well, I think you guys are saying it always has been treated like a pro league.
Right, but it's even.
Has there been a big change?
Yeah, but I think it's even more so now because there's so much more money in the sport. Not only is the players getting paid, but I understand, like, the ratings are going up. Like, it's becoming more and more popular every year. So I think, like, they have to expect there's going to be more heat on it. If another coach has said that, we might take them seriously. But then again, college football coaches are such frauds that it's kind of hard to tell.
855-212-4227. Is it appropriate to criticize college players? How appropriate? And the fact they're getting paid, does this mean it's now like open season? Like it basically is on pro athletes?
I mean, seriously, like who is, I think DJU has gotten more criticism than any athlete in any sport so far this fall.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even think of who the close second would be.
Will Levis, maybe.
Will Levis. Yeah.
Is a pro though, right? Aren't we saying that there's two different rules?
I'm saying DJU more than any other pro athlete. It's gotten more heat and more attention because there's 10 million people watching that Florida State game and he's playing terribly. I just don't think there's any immunity for being in college. I'm not sure there ever was, though.
855-212-4227. Yeah, the difference now between college and pros. And I always thought it was going to be a lot different about the expectation of what you do for a school now that you're getting paid. And I know it's not being paid by the school yet, but like, do you have to play the bowl game? Do you have to do this? How much do you have to do now because of these contracts?
But there is a new dynamic. Oh, this quarterback's getting $6 million a year and he's not delivering. Like, used to be like, we would follow, oh, this guy's a 5-star and he can't even make the team. That was a disappointment. But now he's getting $6 million and he can't even win the starting job. That'll become a thing that we never had to deal with. If Dion had said that calmly and casually, but like with Dion, there's so much noise, which I think he does on purpose.
No doubt. I think that happened with Malachi Nelson, didn't it? At Boise, did they pay him a lot to come in and then?
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's funny. I said something to you guys yesterday that Perloff was dumbfounded by.
What's that?
And I'm curious if he still feels this way. Because I, when Deion said this, what I like to do is when there's any media critique, I put the camera on myself and say, okay, is that how I feel?
Are you a reporter who's envious of a college football player?
Am I jealous or envious of Shedeur Sanders or Travis Hunter? I'm not jealous of those lives. I'm sorry. Like, what? Like, he's a college quarterback, Shedeur, Travis Hunter, great defensive player, great. All well and good. They're making great money in NIL. But I don't know. I see their lifestyle. They're streaming on Twitch. They got Rolexes. They got Cybertrucks. Like, I don't look at that and say, I want this flashy lifestyle. I don't, like, that's me. I can't speak for everybody else. But to me, like, Deion made it seem like because we're in your face with our, you know, kind of showmanship and kind of our materialism that somehow you guys envy that. I just don't. I'm sorry. Like, it's because I'm not in the mind of a 21-year-old. If I was 21, 22, hell yeah, I'd want to be Shedeur Sanders. All the girls you can get, all the drive all these cars. But at 33 years old, I can't imagine a 40-year-old or 50-year-old. I don't look at Shedeur Sanders to say, I want to be him. I don't do that.
Well, okay, maybe I misunderstood, but generally, like, if you could go back and trade your life for Shedeur Sanders' life, no offense, because you've done great, but I would hope you take Shedeur.
I'm talking about, like, but Deion's saying the media, like, the people who are commentating on his son. And I'm just, jealous, like, I don't think that middle-aged reporters really want to be Shedeur Sanders. I'm sorry. I don't believe
it's
that.
It's only because you've met a lot of middle-aged reporters and you realize most of just want to get home.
I think you become a sports reporter because you fantasize about being first baseman for the Philadelphia Phillies. Like, I mean, we all...
Sure.
That's very specific.
Maybe not the Phillies, Mets over here, but
Or like, to be a quarterback and to walk into every room and have everyone kiss your butt your entire life and have any girlfriend you want, like, that sounds much better than me, you know, desperately trying to talk to Susie, whatever, in English class and getting shot down. Sorry, I would take the all-time great quarterback.
Yeah. Perloff's like, hey, can I do your homework for you?
Meanwhile, she's like, I'll cheat off you in the math test, but then I'm going to go date Johnny, the quarterback, over there.
Would you want to trade places with Shedeur?
So I guess I misunderstood. Like, now you're saying you wouldn't want all that headache of being a 21-year-old star. But in general, though, I mean, did you fantasize about being the Jets quarterback?
Absolutely.
It'd be amazing.
Of course, every young person who's into sports wants to be that sports athlete.
But I still think there's a lot of fun things about being Shedeur Sanders. You get to go out and throw 4 touchdowns and throw to 80,000 people. That's awesome.
I know. Hopefully, just don't take 7 sacks.
Well, I would say certain
games. That's the other
part. That was a schedule-dependent thing.
Not against Nebraska.
Not against a good Big 12 team, but if you get one of those FCS schools, you know, you might have a day.
Really show off. 855-212-4227. Okay, we will check in with one of our very good friends next. Haven't talked to him in a while. He's gone through some major life changes. Peter King, 3-time sports writer of the year and one of the great voices and writers who have covered the NFL for over 3 decades. He is going to join us next. We'll get Peter's thoughts on these first-time Hall of Famers, these nominees, Eli Manning, Marshawn Lynch. Are these first ballot guys? Is Marshawn in? Lot more, too. 855-212-4227. Don't move.
All right, football season is here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action while watching football or other sports. I did soccer last night, Maggie. It didn't go well. Kevin De Bruyne had less than 47 passes. He had 30 passes. You know what? I was so excited to try a different sport, and I was on fire. But that's okay because I had a great time following Kevin De Bruyne.
Would you like to know how I did?
Yeah, how'd you do?
I did great because Framber Valdez had more than 5.5 strikeouts. So let's go, Prize Picks. And what we love about Prize Picks, not just that the app is so easy to use, but you can still cash out even if your lineup isn't perfect and all the withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. Prize Picks, the only daily fantasy app with injury insurance. So if one of your players goes down in the first half, Prize Picks doesn't count it as a loss, Perloff. It's just some of the many ways Prize Picks put its members like me and you first.
Download the Prize Picks app today and use code MNP and get $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Well, this is a thrill. Haven't checked in with our good friend, the three-time National Sports Writer of the Year, now part of the Let's Go podcast. It's the one and only Peter King. Peter, thank you for joining us fresh off of retirement, but I knew you couldn't fully stay away. You had to do something. And can I tell you this? We have you up now on YouTube, on Twitch, and on Twitter. You look great. How's retirement treating you?
It's fantastic, Maggie. Hi, Andrew. It's really good. I've had a chance to do things I would not have been able to do were I not retired. For instance, my wife and I organized and sort of piloted our first ever family reunion in July. And I've been involved in a fundraising project trying to restore 17 interscholastic teams to the public schools in my hometown of Enfield, Connecticut. So that has been a really rewarding thing to do as well, you know, because for 40 years I did things for me and for our family. And now it's good to be able to do some things for other people. So that's been a joy for me.
Peter, did you get the itch over week one or week two? You know, it's Sunday afternoon. I think, you know, you have muscle memory to start writing your column or keep working on your column. Did you miss it, or like did part of you want to run to your computer and write something down?
Not really, Andrew. I write notes for our show with Jim Gray, and I send those before I go to bed Sunday night. The difference is, I'm trying to go to bed at halftime of the Sunday night game rather than 6 hours later. Yeah. But that's what I do. I mean, there have been some things I wanted to write about. I would have loved to have written something about Deshaun Watson after week one. I would have loved to have told everybody to shut up about Tua after his concussion. It's nobody's business but his own. Mm. I understand everybody has an opinion, but let the guy make his own decision instead of playing doctor and, you know, like the Antonio Pierces of the world and telling the guy to retire. It's just, it's wrong. But anyway, no, mostly I just like sitting back and look, tonight I'm going to my first game as a fan since 1983.
Wow.
Jets Pats.
Jets. Yeah, I'm going to the Jets Patriots game tonight with some friends. Actually, as part of the fundraiser for Enfield, Connecticut. So, you know, that kind of stuff is fun.
Okay, so Peter King is joining us. What's the plan? Like, where are your seats? I mean, do you have a big tailgate going on?
We're sitting somewhere in the lower bowl. I forget exactly where. You know, what was really nice about this is that, so I'm doing this as a charity function. And so the Jets were nice enough to be able to get us on the field before the game. So Fred Gadelli, my old friend from NBC, is going to show us the truck before the game. You know, he works with Amazon as well. And then Richard Sherman, my old friend at the MMQB, got us 5 tickets for the game. So me and my 4 friends will watch the game together, courtesy of Richard Sherman. So, you know, that's kind of a fortunate thing.
Man, what a life. I mean, Peter, you really, this is great. And the fact that you get to help out your hometown, get sports back in those middle schools and stuff where it's just so wildly important. We know that.
Yeah.
Peter King is joining us. Now, one of the reasons we want to bring you on, first of all, we like you and you're a friend, but also we saw the Hall of Fame nominees. Now, I know you are no longer an official Hall of Fame voter, but these are guys you covered, I mean, obviously. So when you see Eli Manning, is he a first ballot Hall of Famer in your opinion?
Maggie, I've never got hung up in first ballot, second ballot, third ballot, for a very simple reason. There's not a soul 10 years from now who will ask, what ballot did you get in on? When some guy is wearing his Hall of Fame blazer, nobody cares. I mean, sure, the players care. They want to get in the first year. But I did this for 33 years and just resigned last month because obviously I retired. But I always felt this way. I want to select the 5 modern era candidates that I feel that year are most worthy. So let's say if Eli Manning were coming up against Barry Sanders, Dan Marino, Brett Favre, you know, Reggie White, whatever. I mean, he's probably not going to make it the first year. But if he's coming up against a softer class, maybe he's going to make it. I do believe he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. But and whether he gets in the first year, second year, I just don't know. And I've never thought that that's that big a deal.
There's, you know, the even when he was playing, people were talking about his Hall of Fame. There's criticisms that if he wasn't a Manning and he wasn't in New York, that he
was. That's a pile of crap.
I kind of, yeah, I needed to. Yeah.
Total pile of crap. Okay. And look, his candidacy isn't slam dunk. It is sketchy. Because if you look at it, you know, this guy won playoff games in two seasons. But those two seasons were incredible. Because, look, he went on the road. You know, in the first season, obviously, they went on the road. They knocked the Patriots from being, you know, the only the second undefeated team in NFL history, modern history. They beat the 18-0 Patriots with his heroics and David Tyree's heroics at the end of the game. And then the second time, not only does he, and I should add, you know, in both cases, in both years, Eli Manning went into Green Bay and shocked the world, first beating Brett Favre, sending him into, you know, early retirement. And then obviously he came back. But and then the second time, obviously, you know, they play great in the playoffs. They go and they crush the Packers, you know, the top. I think they were the top seeded Packers, you know, in the postseason. And then obviously they beat the Patriots again. Look, if you beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick twice in the Super Bowl, tell me what and you're one of the top 10 you know, quarterback statistically of all time, whatever he's going to be, whatever he is now, 10, 12, whatever. I cannot see a logical reason for keeping the guy out of the Hall of Fame.
You know, the quarterback with two Super Bowl rings who did not make it was Jim Plunkett. Do you remember the debates about him?
Eli, I really wasn't doing it then.
Yeah.
And the problem really with Plunkett is that his regular season record is just incredibly mediocre.
Yeah.
And I don't think that anybody can look at his record. I mean, to me, I don't think winning the Super Bowl, even winning it twice, should be reason that you get in the Hall of Fame. You've got to have the rest of your career has to support that. And I understand people would say, well, look at the rest of Eli Manning's career. He had a bunch of lousy years. He was never all pro. I totally get it. And that's why he has a unique case. Kurt Warner had a unique case. You know, he had a transcendent, ridiculous few years leading the greatest show on turf. And then he had a revival in his career. So, look, I think all these things have to be looked at individually. But I'm not a big Plunkett booster for the Hall of Fame. I don't think he belongs.
Peter King is joining us. Of course, he's on the Let's Go podcast now, which is great. Peter, you tried to retire. You were never going to be able to fully retire. People were going to want to hear your opinion on stuff. Three-time Sports Writer of the Year, one of the preeminent NFL writers that we've ever had. And he joins us now. What about Marshawn Lynch, Peter? Marshawn Lynch, another first-time nominee. Is he a Hall of Famer?
I think he's got a good case, but I think his issue is going to be that, you know, I forget where he is. He's somewhere in the low 20s, maybe even as low as 30 and on the all-time rushing list. And you've got guys above him, you know, like Frank Gore, who I'm guessing rushed for 5,000 or 6,000 yards more than he did in his career. Now, look, the couple of things that Marshawn Lynch has going for him is that I mean, first of all, he had one of the greatest playoff rushes of all time, you know, in the playoff game against the Saints. I think it was against the Saints. But, I mean, that's one of the greatest playoff runs that there ever was. You know, his long run where he broke 58 tackles. But I think there's a tremendous amount of sentiment because he was such a beloved player in Seattle and he was such a leader on that team. But then you have to ask yourself, okay, you're Tiki Barber. You've got more rushing yards. You're Ricky Waters. You got more rushing yards. You're Corey Dillon. You're Fred Taylor. I mean, and so, and I realize everybody's going to say, well, wait a minute. Do big games count? Does playing really well in the playoffs, does that count? Yeah, it counts. And so I think he's got a shot. I think it's arguable on both sides.
Peter, I heard Adam Schefter make an impassioned case for Mike Shanahan, former Broncos coach, former Washington coach. Actually, I think a lot of fans, we get some callers to the show, are surprised he's not already in. What's the deal with his candidacy?
Well, some of it is sort of logistical. Until this year, when the rules were changed by the Hall of Fame, until this year, all coaches and all contributors, all former commissioners, anybody who had anything to do with football but who didn't play, they were all in one category. And so when you pick out one or sometimes two each year, you know, there are other candidates who over the years have been higher on the list, you know, in terms of what the voters have voted for than Mike Shanahan. I believe strongly, and I think it's Mike Shanahan's time. I mean, not only, you know, he goes up basically against Tom Coughlin with two Super Bowls, who I think is very deserving, and also the very legitimate case of Mike Holmgren. So those are probably the three leaders on the coaches list. And now the Hall of Fame has divided long retired players, the senior candidates, all coaches, and then all other contributors. So basically the coaches now are alone. So there's going to be a coach probably out of Holmgren, Shanahan, and Coughlin. One of those guys is going to have his name advanced to the committee and who will be voted on by the entire committee. My feeling is going into the meeting, and my mind has changed many times. I'm a consultant this year. I'm not a voter. But many times going into a meeting, I've felt one way. And then after, you know, in the middle of the meeting, I've changed my mind. But as of right now, with two Super Bowls, with his incredible modern coaching tree, and the fact that he beat Mike Holmgren head-to-head in the Super Bowl, the Green Bay-Denver Super Bowl, when the Packers were heavy, heavy favorites, that would sway me to, at least going into the meeting, thinking that Shanahan would probably be number one on my list going in.
Peter, you've been really generous with your time. Just got like two more little ones for you. One, we're talking about the Hall of Fame and your consultant now. You're no longer on the committee because you retired, but we still get to hear you because you're doing the Let's Go podcast, which is really awesome. There was a story that came out on ESPN about Robert Kraft and about how he's pretty salty that he's not in the Hall of Fame yet, especially considering that Jerry Jones is in the Hall of Fame. He thinks that they're maybe kind of equal in terms of influence. But there was another detail that perhaps because Kraft has been, well, pretty obvious about, you know, making documentaries to show how influential he was for the Patriots dynasty, that that's actually turning off voters and that maybe he's coming on a little too strong. What do you think of that as someone who was in those rooms and on that committee for as long as you were?
Number one, Maggie, I don't care. I don't care about any of those things. I care about one thing. What were Robert Kraft's contributions to the sport and to his team? And the reason that I believe he's a Hall of Famer, one of them, not only has he had a lot of influence on the broadcast committee over the years, and he was very influential in preventing a strike in 2011. But I also think that, you know, the fact that everyone on God's green earth was telling him in 1999 and 2000, you know, as 1999 turned into 2000, don't hire Belichick. You're making a huge mistake. Play it safe. Go hire Dom Capers. Go hire somebody else. He was the only one, even among members of his family, who wanted to hire Belichick. And so I give him a lot of credit for that, a lot of credit. Without Bill Belichick, you can parse who matters more, Belichick or Brady. I don't care. They needed both of them. And Robert Kraft stood on his head and said, we're hiring Belichick.
Peter, last one for you. You recently retired. We got some news yesterday. Adrian Wojnarowski is now going to retire to become the general manager of the St. Bonaventure men's basketball team. I don't know if you could have become the GM of the Ohio Bobcats football team. I don't know. Missed opportunity for you there, Pete. But what would be your advice to Woj for the next few months of his retirement? What would you say to him knowing what you know now?
I would just say, you know, take some time to enjoy life, which he's going to do, I'm sure, and do what you want to do. I reached a point in my life, Maggie, where, you know, the three adult male members of my family were all dead by age 64, and I am 67. And I just said, I'm not going to be like my very good friends, Paul Zimmerman and Don Banks, and die on the job. Just not going to do that. And I didn't think that all of my lifestyle was really, it really fit with, you know, living till I'm 85. And I know Woj will do this. I was with him at Chris Mortensen's memorial service, and he showed me the NIL list for St. Bonaventure. He was into making St. Bonaventure a nationally respected program. And he's going to do what he loves. He loves Olean, New York, St. Bonaventure University. Good for him. I am totally thrilled for him and happy that he didn't let money rule this decision. He let life rule this decision.
Peter, thank you. Enjoy the game. Gosh, do we miss Don Banks all the time. Yeah. Thank you so much for doing this. And again, you look fabulous. So this is working for
Thanks.
You.
Appreciate Maggie. I really, really appreciate it. Good to be with you guys.
And have fun tonight, Peter.
Have fun and okay. Good luck raising all that money for Enfield, for your hometown to get their youth sports back in order. That's really important. That's great stuff. All right. The one and only Peter King. There
Peter, of course, was a baller on the baseball diamond back in the day. I've heard stories.
Juan Soto himself, he learned everything from Peter.
We learned a lot in that interview. But one thing, I told you, Woj is into being a GM. He's going to kill it. Wait till St. Bonnie's is in the tournament and Woj is on the sideline. You'll be like, he made the right call.
I mean, listen, I've been to Olean also. He's got a special place in his heart for it. It's his alma mater. That's fantastic. I just don't know if it's going to stick. I think you get used, the juice is there, you know, and the urge to pull you back in can be like a drug. Okay, that was awesome. We get to check in with Peter King, talk a little Hall of Fame, which is always fun. Coming up, we've got lots more to do, including a pick for tonight's game, which we will do, and also which injury heading into week 3 in the NFL is going to be felt the most by their team.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll get to that next. Huge thank you to Peter King, who joined us in the last segment. If you missed Peter talking about The Hall of Fame, specifically Eli Manning and Marshawn Lynch. You asked a great question about Jim Plunkett, Perloff, another two-time Super Bowl champ, another guy who had literally finished his career with a 500 record regular season, just like Eli Manning. Why one guy's in, why another guy's not in, about Kyle Shanahan and Mike Holmgren and Tom Coughlin. Really, really great stuff with Peter. And then a little advice for Woj, too, as that was a big media story yesterday that he's retiring.
Yeah, and apparently Woj has been walking around with an NIL list in his pocket. I mean, geez, Woj brings that energy to the breaking stories of St. Bonaventure, who has been in the tournament recently. Well, I'm telling you, powerhouse.
The new powerhouse. Kentucky.
Yeah.
St. Bonaventure. Wait, Bonnies.
Who's the famous player? Was it Bob Lanier who went to St. Bonaventure? Or?
I think it was him, and also, did one of the Van Bredikoffs either go there or coach there? Anyway.
Yeah.
Because we had Peter, we kept him for a while. He's so gracious to do that. Chris Lopresti's update got pushed a little bit. So, CeeLo, what's the latest?
All right. Well, I got a little injury status update on Rams wideout Cooper Kupp from NFL Network's Ian Rappaport about an hour ago or so. So, not going on injured reserve. So, he could return over the course of the next couple of weeks. But it was a high ankle sprain that he suffered this past weekend. So, he'll spend the next week or so in a cast to help the swelling go down before he begins his rehab. Rams, of course, off to a rough start ahead of a home game with the 49ers this Sunday. Oof. Where they will be without Cup, and is Puka Nacua back?
He's out as well.
So yeah. That's a tough spot for them, even though Christian McCaffrey's out for the Niners. Well, Debo Samuel as well. So both teams missing some key
weapons.
But
the Rams line is also hurt. Like
they are very
banged
up. That's
a disastrous start for them.
Yes. Yes, it is.
A lot of people picked them to do very well.
Oh, I picked them to win the NFC West. Whoops.
Yeah.
Oops. Can't account for those early injuries, right? We thought the Packers were going to be without Jordan Love for at least a month or so with the sprained MCL from the Brazil season opener for Green Bay, but after missing week two, Love was back on the practice field yesterday as a limited participant.
I'm going to take the week and just take it day by day and see how it feels, but I'm not going to make any decision on that now. You know, I'm hopeful that I'll get to that point where I can get in there, but we're just going to, you know, take it day by day and see.
So it would seem, at least on the surface, he might have a shot at facing the Titans this Sunday, if not Malik Willis gets a shot at his former team on the road in Nashville. The Panthers say they've got no interest in trading the now benched Bryce Young just two games into his second year. Of course, the 2023 first overall pick. Baker Mayfield was the top guy back in 2018, flamed out with his first team, the Browns. Took a while to find his home and his footing now with the Bucks.
Quarterback's hard, especially for young guys, when you're not surrounded with the pieces that, you know, not given the opportunity to have success. And so a lot of the time guys have the talent, they might have the brains, but they don't have the right opportunity, the right fit. I mean, I'm sitting here right now in a way better fit than the other places I've been. And that's not to put other teams down.
So a little support there for what Bryce is going through. And he flamed out with the Panthers as well in that one year. Different regime, of course, different situation. But he has been through Carolina. Exactly. Yes. The owner seems to be sort of the common denominator here in recent years.
Yeah,
Carolina.
Think.
Yes. Let's lighten things up a bit with Jim Harbaugh. Asked yesterday about one of his coaches. Couldn't quite hear which one. Maybe it was offensive coordinator Greg Roman. Doesn't really matter in the end result of what he has to say here.
He's just a great coach. I mean, one of the best I've ever been around. You know, like Moses, I'm gonna die leaning on my staff.
Like Moses, I'm gonna die leaning on my staff. Now, he loves a good Bible reference. This is not the first time he's done this. The problem here, though, is Moses didn't die leaning on his staff, as far as we know, and as far as what the Bible says. So people started digging on this yesterday. People were digging on this. I read some stories that were looking into it, and it actually gets better. So apparently Lou Holtz used this quote or phrase when he was head coach of Notre Dame back in the day. So there was a New York Times article written from more than a decade ago, and he talked about Moses dying leaning on the staff. And in the middle of this speech he was giving, or whatever it was, speaking engagement, he stops mid-sentence because someone's saying something from the audience. So he leans in, he listens, and then he says, "Oh, I've been corrected. Peter died leaning on the staff, not Moses."
Got it.
But that apparently is wrong as well.
Oh, no.
Peter died by crucifixion in Rome. It was Jacob who was known for leaning on his staff and did so as he died, worshiping God and blessing Joseph's sons. So Coach Holtz and Coach Harbaugh, a little more Bible study, it seems, is needed.
Wait a minute, though. Am I missing something here about leaning on the staff? He means this as a double...
Correct.
A double meaning.
He's coaching staff, whereas
a
we're talking about
is
the
like
physical
a
staff.
Right.
Yes.
Well, we've been talking a lot about words this morning.
Double meaning there. Yeah.
Kind of. obvious.
Well, yeah. He's making a joke. I don't think that Moses referred to his, the Israelites as his staff, correct, like offensive and defensive coordinators.
But I think the wordplay by Jim Harbaugh was on the obvious side. Yes.
I don't know. I'm just asking. I've never heard this before, and I didn't hear it when Lou Holtz said it either.
But he didn't actually mean that he was going to die on a wooden stick that was holding him up. Like, he meant his staff.
Listen, Jim Harbaugh is weird. Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Not because of the Bible stuff, just because he's an odd bird. All right. So I don't know what he means.
When I saw that quote, it almost looked like a Jay-Z line or a Rick Ross line or something like that. We could do a game of Jim Harbaugh saying, "Who is this?"
But Jim Harbaugh is trying to become a soundbite all the time now. Ever since he got to the Chargers, he's like, "I'm in LA. I'm going to get some attention. I'm going to say what funny, witty things."
I mean, like Moses, I'm going to die on my staff. Like that. That sounds like something that Jay-Z has said already on a rap. I think I heard that in A Reasonable Doubt yesterday.
And he got it from Coach Holtz.
Yeah, I know. It's like we need maybe some new material.
By the way, Moses, 120 in the Old Testament when he died.
It's a good
run. Always love the ages. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
The ages are great. Like Sarah had a baby at 98 or something.
Yeah. That was IVF.
I don't know what doctor she had, but obviously.
Yeah. All right, let's go to baseball now. The Brewers clinched their third NL Central title in 4 years on a night where they walked off the Phillies 2-1. First-year manager Pat Murphy stopping the clubhouse celebration amidst the flow of champagne as longtime radio voice and Brewers legend Bob Uecker, joined in on the fun.
Hey, what's up? There is no one. Who epitomizes a champion the way this man does right here. There is no one out here. What an example for us to be with every single day. Bob Uecker. No doubt about it.
There you go. They're having a grand old time in Milwaukee yesterday with the great Bob Uecker.
And Perloff wants to get rid of clubhouse celebrations.
At least that one's for a division title. The Yankees going nuts for a postseason berth last night in Seattle is a bit much.
Listen, all of them
did
are
really?
Fun.
Yes.
Full-blown celebration, the goggles, the champagne, all
the
of
lights.
It.
I also think it's just such a mess. I mean, it's like, who's got to clean up after all these celebrations?
Yeah, that I was thinking that too.
Anytime,
a lot of shampoo for the carpets.
Anytime they are honoring Bob Uecker, we're all about it.
Yes.
Thank you, CeeLo. 855-212-4227. Coming up, we will turn our attention to college football. Josh Pate, CBS Sports, will join us next.